My offhanded remark about still having a landline has provoked a few texts from people saying, no, no, we still have a landline. And the only reason I have the landline, I guess there are two. One of them is I have the greatest telephone number in history, which, of course, I can't tell you about because you might phone it. But I've also been told that I need a landline in order to run my home security system. And that's something I want to investigate because, frankly, the landline is useless. Nobody calls me on it. I don't ever call anybody on it. The signal quality is crap because there's water on the line or something like that. But like I said, you know, once I cancel it, I'll tell you what my phone number is. But if I was a single guy in a bar, man, this would be the greatest phone number ever.
Do you still get any of those scams or duck cleaning calls on those lines?
No. That all comes in on the cell phone now. And my favorite thing, I don't know if I've turned up on a list somewhere, Nick Marano, but I get probably a message every single day saying, hi, it's Molly. I am a recruiter for blah, blah, blah. Would you like to? No. Do you know what I do for a living? I'm good. All right, so let's talk, speaking of tech, it's a Tech Tuesday. Carmi Levy joins us. Good morning, Carmi.
I think Molly was calling me on my landline before we got rid of it, too, so yeah.
There you go. Okay, so tell me about Elon Musk's Grok, which I don't even know about. What is it?
So Grok is Twitter X. It's their answer to ChatGPT, to Google Gemini. It's an AI-powered chatbot, and you can gain access to it if you pay for a premium membership. They give you access to Grok. And it is, so it's a chatbot like ChatGPT. You ask it questions, it gives you answers, but it also has one party trick. And basically what it does within the context of X, it'll summarize trending news and topics. So it'll sort of tell you what's going on. And so there was a story about Klay Thompson, who is a rather famous basketball player. He was finishing up his time with the Golden State Warriors, and he was playing in his last game. And apparently he was stinking up the joint. He was just playing terribly. He kept throwing, going for these really long shots and not even hitting the net. Never mind not getting it in. He was just missing it. No swish, no nothing. And apparently they call that throwing bricks in the basketball parlance. And so everyone was talking about on X how he was throwing bricks. Well, Grok didn't really understand that very well, and as people were asking questions about Klay Thompson, it was spitting on an answer saying that he was accused of vandalizing multiple houses with bricks in Sacramento. And so people soon realized that Grok was having a bit of a brain sort of, you know, aneurysm, and so they started posting fake news about Klay Thompson, that he was throwing bricks, that he was vandalizing. Some people were posting fart jokes about this, and next thing you knew, they were making a bad situation worse. They were gaming the system, recognizing that there was a weakness in this tool, and they were feeding it even more misinformation, which, of course, it was happy to spit out. So a lot of egg on their face, because apparently there is a fundamental flaw in Grok. No surprise, it comes from Elon Musk. And it's kind of igniting conversation, igniting debate over just how easily these things can be duped into spreading misinformation. And this is a pretty high-profile example of that.
Okay, and speaking of fake stuff, apparently there's a product from Microsoft that can deep fake people with very little data.
One photo and one audio track. Take that and feed it into, it's called VASA One. It stands for Visual Effective Skills Animator. Comes from Microsoft Research Asia. And it will then spit out a fully formed video of them singing. So there's a video, the demo that's getting all the attention now is of the Mona Lisa singing a really weird song. And that was created just by someone who just fed the image in with some audio. It is not an audio clone. You still have to supply it your own audio, but you can use audio cloning from some other source as well, which basically means you don't need to know what you're doing to spread misinformation. You just have to have access to Google Photos or Google Images. Just do a Google search, pull up an image, feed it into VASA, and next thing you know, you too can create your own deep fake video. The good news here is not available for public yet. They've just released it for research purposes, so you and I can't get our hands on it, but we keep seeing this drumbeat, this sort of, you know, one release after another. We're just doing research. research. It isn't available publicly yet. At some point, this will become publicly available. And then I think we have, if we think we have a big misinformation and disinformation problem today, once the masses have access to these tools, it's going to get a lot worse.
But you know what, Carmi? I've been reflecting on this and thinking that in the future, a video could turn up of you doing or saying something extraordinarily controversial, and you can just say, nah, it's fake.
Yeah, and we're already kind of seeing that. It's almost like the modern equivalent of the dog ate my homework. It's an easy out, right? It's a deep fake. Therefore, it means that we can't believe what we see. It means that any asset is now an untrusted asset, and that line between truth and untruth is no longer visible to anyone. It's a frightening place to be, and quite frankly, the technology is racing ahead, and we haven't figured out how to deal with it. And unfortunately, you know, we're going into an election year where, what, how many billions of people are going to be voting over the next year, including here in Canada, potentially. That is incredibly problematic, and there is no technological or legislative solution to any of this.
We spend a lot of time talking about AI in a negative frame. It's stealing jobs, it's faking things, but in some ways, it's going to become an assistant to an awful lot of people. And apparently, at an Ottawa hospital, they're using AI to figure out how to do clinical notes. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's called DAX Copilot, and it comes to us from, again, the good folks at Microsoft. They've been really busy lately. And what it does is it securely records doctor-patient conversations, and then it converts them into notes. And anyone who's gone to the doctor lately knows full well that capturing what has been said, not just what you've said, but the spirit of it into your notes so that they can render really effective healthcare. Very difficult thing to do, and it takes a huge amount of time. Canadian Medical Association says it takes about 10 hours a week for the average doctor to transliterate or translate their notes and to do it effectively. So what this does is it frees up the doctor from having to sit there and type it all in and probably get it wrong. And then it puts it into your electronic health record. You can access it. They have a MyChart patient portal. Then you can access your notes there as well and see them. I don't know. I've never seen my doctor's notes before. So this could really be a game changer, because we know that the healthcare system is under stress. We know that doctors are buried by administrivia. They're stuck doing things that they really would rather not do. They'd rather spend time delivering healthcare, not wrestling with paper. And DAX Copilot is one of those really cool AI-powered tools that could free them from that tyranny and provide one of those answers to better healthcare, more effective healthcare, and probably keep more doctors working in Canada as well.
Yeah, I was talking to a doctor this past weekend, and actually something we got into was the idea that AI could actually help with diagnostics, that your first interaction as a patient would be with a computer, and that would take a whole bunch of stuff off the table for the doctor once you get to the doctor.
It absolutely could. You know, we rage on AI a lot because of misinformation, disinformation, dystopian futures. But healthcare in particular is emerging as one of those sectors where it can really be a game changer, because AI can do that initial triage, can take the symptoms that you are sharing, can do an initial sort of categorization of it, provide the information, then hand that over to a diagnostician, to a doctor, who can then take it from there. Think of when you go to the ER, how long you wait just so that somebody will listen to you. Well, if that becomes technology, at least at that initial stage, that can cut down ER waits tremendously and help the healthcare system. It's worth us looking for these use cases. We really owe it to ourselves to double down on research into which tools can really be game changers in healthcare.
Okay, so we're almost out of time, but I want to know about doubling the life of batteries.
Now, this is really cool. This comes to us from Humboldt University in Berlin. Basically, this doesn't involve a new battery. It involves a new algorithm that changes the way we charge existing lithium ion batteries. So the cool thing is it uses what's called pulsed current instead of constant current. So it's a more intelligent way of feeding power back into a battery when you're charging it, which over time means you damage it less. You double the lifespan. It doesn't degrade to the same degree as it otherwise would. So we won't have to wait years for new battery formulations to come to market. We can add this, just change the programming in charging systems for batteries that we're already using today.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, John.
That's Carmi Levy, our tech expert, who joins us every Tuesday at 6:50 for Tech Tuesday.